Reaching up, reaching over, and reaching out. We are New Life Christian Fellowship. For service times, articles, or recordings of our weekly messages, please visit us online at www.nlcfchurch.org. This message is brought to you by Kevin Weeb.
You know, I like to try gardening. I keep trying. I didn't have a garden this last year because we moved and we haven't set it up yet. But I like to try my hand at growing things. I did pretty okay with tomatoes the last time I grew them. I did try growing something this year. I tried growing plants to make tea out of. And all I can say is I did not get to brew a single cup of tea out of all the plants that I was trying to grow on my counter with some lights on them for growing indoor plants and all that. It was a disaster. Now, one of the plants I was trying to grow was chamomile, right? And you might think, well, who can't grow chamomile? It, like, grows anywhere. Well, I planted it in this pot. I kept watering it, kept taking care of it, made sure it was getting light and nutrients and fertilizer and whatever. But I barely got a sprout. Meanwhile, on our driveway, chamomile plants were going wild in the rocks. I could drive over them with our van again and again, and they would just grow back, like, wherever. It didn't matter. My ability to grow things sometimes is not very good. But I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to grow things. Where my attempts at growing chamomile fail miserably, but the Lord's attempt at growing chamomile, he can grow it in rocks that barely have any soil at all. He can grow it in places where it keeps getting run over, and he can still make those plants thrive. You know, when we think about our theme for this year, renewal. I better put my slideshow on so you guys can follow along. When we think of our theme of renewal, a lot of images of plants kind of come to mind for me. The picture on our banner for the year is a picture of a tree growing on a massive boulder. Now, this isn't some picture I grabbed off the internet. This was one I took with my phone, actually, last spring as I was hiking with my friend Abe. We came across this tree. It was huge. It was towering far above all the other trees in the area. It was way thicker than all of the trees in the area, and yet it's growing on top of a boulder in the place where you would think no tree would ever take root. So we were very impressed. So, of course, we stopped and took a picture. But as I'm thinking of the theme of renewal, this picture just kept coming to mind again and again of this tree that we saw. Because some of us were born in a tough place. Some of us were born into tough situations. Some of us are still in tough situations. Not all of us have that perfect, fertile soil that plants like to grow. And yet, we may ask, well, does that mean we're hopeless? We have these questions. Does that mean nothing can be done with us? Life has been hard. Things are still hard. But the truth is that God can grow things where no one else could. Where I have the perfect soil in my pot for chamomile, I can't make it grow, but the Lord in my driveway could grow piles of it, even though it was getting driven over all the time by vehicles. Just like this tree in Algonquin Park, where all the other trees in the area may have had better soil to grow, it was this tree that grew the tallest, this tree that grew the widest, this tree that towered above every other tree. When we're looking for spiritual renewal, the solution essentially begins and ends with Jesus. It begins and ends with following God. I want to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. It says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." This is Jesus talking. "He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the branch. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. What a passage. When we are connected to Jesus, the vine, then we can bear fruit. Everything about renewal begins and ends with Jesus. Now, there's a bunch of stuff we're going to unpack, a number of things to talk about spiritual renewal and what that might look like more practically, but it begins with following Jesus as our Lord. Lord, this is an important word. We read it all throughout the Bible, and it's especially in the New Testament, where it's written in Greek, the word Lord is the Greek word kurios. Kurios. It means he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. Or it means a master, or simply Lord, as it's translated so often. It means the possessor and disposer of a thing. The possessor and disposer of a thing. It means that that person that you call Lord has the power to possess or to dispose of a thing. So the Lord, Jesus, has the power to give life to the branches or to cut them off and throw them away. The possessor or disposer of a thing. In the state, it's thought of as the sovereign or the prince or the chief or the emperor or the king. Or it's a title of honor expressing respect and reverence that servants use to greet their masters. It's more than just something polite to say. When we say Lord of Jesus, we're calling him our master. We're calling him the person that we belong to. It's even more profound than if an employee would refer to their employer as boss. You can't call someone your boss without recognizing their authority over you and that you are the one that serves them, right? But in our society, we don't do slavery anymore, and that's generally a good thing, but the word Lord is even stronger than boss. It's even more authority than your employer. The word Lord means that Jesus has all power over our lives. And certainly the Lord Jesus wants us to thrive. He wants us to grow in him. He wants us to bear fruit. But that doesn't always mean that he will give us exactly that which we want. He'll give us what we need, but not always what we want. But it begins with following Jesus as our Lord. This is very important, as our Lord. This is where we begin. Proverbs 9:10, chapter 9, verse 10 says, Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. This goes along these lines. Fear of the Lord. Not to be, you know, petrified of him as you might of, you know, a giant spider. I don't care for spiders much. Or as you might over a tornado heading to your house or something like that. It's not quite the same as being scared. It's a deep reverence, but also recognizing that the Lord is the one that has the power to grant us entrance into heaven or to deny us entrance into heaven, which means going to hell. There's this really deeply... There's something really weighty about this fear of the Lord, not just something to take lightly, right? Like it's reverence and awe, but it's kind of weightier than that because it's dealing with matters of heaven and hell. We're to remember our place before God, our Lord, our Master. And this is the foundation of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this fear of the Lord, remembering our place before Him. Another thing that we see in this passage where Jesus is talking about He's the vine and we are the branches. This is a great picture, especially given the theme of renewal in this picture we've chosen for our banner this year of a tree, that it's like a plant. But Jesus says also that if we remain in Him, we will be pruned. So spiritual renewal requires pruning. When you grow plants to take care of them, there are times where you have to prune certain things off of that branch. So what does this mean? This means that sometimes in your life, if you are looking for spiritual renewal, if you are looking for Jesus to kind of put some fresh wind, some fresh fire into your life, the spark that's been missing for a while, it doesn't always begin with getting something more. In fact, it often begins, well, it begins with submitting to Jesus, but what often needs to happen is that we actually cut things out of our life. It's not always about getting something more. Even though we're seeking renewal, we come to the Lord tired and exhausted, and we want something from Him. We say, God, I need You to fix this broken thing. I want You to give me this healing, this renewal, this fresh fire, this whatever we want to call it. We want Him to fix it, to give us that. But very often, where it starts is actually with the Lord taking something from us. Just like a plant that's, you know, has a bit too much going on. And it's got so much going on that it can't focus on growing the fruit that it needs to grow. And so the gardener will come along and it'll prune off certain things. It'll cut them away so that it can bear more fruit and be healthy. Sometimes spiritual renewal requires pruning. So if you are asking the Lord to put that fresh life into you, it bears asking, or it's worth asking the question, what is the Lord wanting to take from you? What is the Lord asking you to give up for the sake of Him right now? And if you feel like God is pruning you, if He's been taking things away from you, good. Why good? Because it means there is still hope for you. It means that the Lord is pruning you to bear fruit. It might even mean that you have been doing good, but the Lord wants you to do even better. Because those who bear fruit will be pruned to bear even more fruit. It's not like you get to a place in life where the Lord's never going to prune you again. I mean, unless that, you know, is heaven, of course. But in this world, the longer we live, the more we will often experience this again and again and again in cycles of our lives, in different seasons of our lives. Just like in nature, we have winter and then spring and summer, then autumn, and then we're back to winter again, that there's going to be seasons in your life where the Lord will need to prune something else from you. And it might not be bad, but it might just be putting energy into something that isn't going to bear fruit, where you should be putting energy into those things that will bear fruit. Spiritual renewal also requires commitment. It requires an extreme commitment to the Lord. Following Jesus isn't an easy thing. The path of the cross is one where we die to ourselves, in fact, every day. It requires a commitment to the Lord that when He prunes you, that you're not just going to bail out and run away. That when He takes something from you, that you're still going to follow Him. That when you pick up your cross and follow Jesus as He asks us to do, that it's going to hurt and you're going to know that this is just a part of following Jesus. It requires a commitment to God that is even weightier than the commitment of marriage. Luke 14, verses 28 to 33. Jesus is talking in this passage. He says, "But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. You know, this happens in life, you know. Buildings go up and they start well, or it appears to, but then all of a sudden construction's halted on them for years. You've probably driven past buildings like this. And when it's a half-finished building or a half-finished house, and you drive by and you wonder, why aren't they finishing it? It kind of looks a little bit silly to have all that money spent into something that's just sitting there. Why don't they finish it? And it seems a bit foolish when you drive by, doesn't it? I can think of a few communities where I've driven by homes like this, and it makes us wonder, what happened? I mean, and tragedies happen all the time to people and all of that, so you don't want to, you know, immediately assume something bad of someone. But it makes you wonder when you drive by and wonder what happened, because that's not the normal way of things. Jesus says the same is true with building a house as following him. Am I actually committed enough to this? Or am I only making a commitment because of something else? You know, maybe we're only making a commitment. This happens in youth all the time because you want to spend some time with that girl, or that girl wants to spend some time with that boy. So you go to church and you hear these great stories of Jesus, and you hear about the love of God, and you raise your hand at an altar call or something, and you make a commitment to Jesus, but it's not very deep. It's just for the sake of, you know, getting closer to that other human being. But Jesus says, count the cost of following him. Think about this. Think about what it will cost you to follow Jesus. Jesus asks us, when we commit ourselves to him, to think about this, to weigh the cost, and to ask ourselves, am I really willing to give up my life for the sake of following Jesus? Jesus didn't market himself very well sometimes in terms of modern marketing. In modern marketing, you hide those kinds of things in the fine print. You hide comments like this about picking up your cross and following him, about counting the cost. That should go in the fine print. And the big bold letters should be, God loves you, you know. But Jesus was very upfront about all of this. And the amazing thing is people still followed him. Many fell away, but people still followed him. In fact, in the book of Acts, Jesus had died and then risen again, and the disciples were in hiding because it was dangerous to follow Jesus. But then they're in Jerusalem, and they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. But before it does, they decide they're going to replace Judas as the disciple, the 12th disciple. And there's something like 100 people there with them. That's like most of our church, you know. So there was still a significant number of people after all of that were followers of Jesus. Have you counted the cost of following him? Maybe some of the difficulties in our lives come because when we began following Jesus, we didn't count the cost. And now when we see what it means to follow Jesus, and we see what it costs to follow Jesus, it's not quite what we thought we signed up for. Spiritual renewal requires commitment. I only read half that passage. Jesus continues. He says, or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. There it is again. Not exactly the marketing slogan you want. You cannot be my disciple without giving up everything you own. Yeah, I took some classes on marketing, and that's not the way, you know, that's not the way they would want to put things. But that's how banks bury you in the fine print, isn't it? Got to be careful with them. Spiritual renewal also requires time. It requires time. There's an old saying, how do people spell love? And I know there's some children that are probably wanting to pipe up and say it's L-O-V-E. And yeah, that's how we spell the actual word. But what translates to love for most people is T-I-M-E, time. A lot of people spell love with time. It requires time. Think of your spouse. Think about when marriage is going well. It's usually been in times when you've spent a lot of time together. Think about your kids, if you have kids. And think about when those relationships are going well. It's usually because you've spent a lot of good quality time with them, investing in them, getting to know them, listening to them. Think about your best friend in the world, whoever that might be outside of, wives and children. The friend that's been your friend since you were a kid, and now you're still friends. I've got a few people like that in my life. And when I think about them and think about those relationships, why are those relationships so profound? Because we have spent so much time together. We have so much history together. And because no matter what we've gone through, we've been there for each other time after time after time. Spiritual renewal requires time. A lot of people treat the church as like a side thing, right? We treat our relationship to God as just that thing we do on Sundays or that thing we were raised to do. But it's like anything in life. If you don't put something into it, you're not going to get much out of it. Imagine if you would treat your marriage like many people treat church, or treat your best friend like a lot of people treat church. You say, yeah, do I really have to come and visit you? But I want all the benefits of friendship. I want you to be there for me when I need someone, or to help me out when I'm broke, or to watch my kids when I'm needing someone to watch my kids. And we want all the benefits of that, but I don't actually want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I just want the benefits of it. That wouldn't be much of a friendship, would it? What if we treated our marriages like that? Like, no. I gave you an hour last week. I gave you an hour of my time last week. And you expect me to be with you for another hour this week? Imagine if we treated our marriages like that. It would be terrible. That's a recipe for how to end a marriage, really. And the same is true with our faith. When we invest time into it, into this relationship, this time abiding in Jesus, that's where things begin to change. And it's not overnight. Have you ever taken a weak plant, a plant that's almost dying? We did this recently. In the last year, we bought our daughter a jasmine plant, because her name is Jasmine. And the first one she killed completely. And so we got her a second one. And it began to die again, and she wasn't taking very good care of it. Sorry, Jasmine, I'm telling this embarrassing story. But then I said, okay, well, let me help you. We'll bring it into the living room, and I'll help take care of it. And this thing was on the edge of life, but there was one shoot on that plant that had a little bit of green in it. So I cut off the dead ones so it wouldn't be sending nutrients up to those dead branches. And from this one green shoot, it eventually started to grow. And then new green shoots started to come. And when something is on the verge of death, when something is on the brink of giving up, it takes time, just like this plant. It didn't like instantly go back into being a wonderful plant when I started to take care of it. It took time, months, in fact. And it's still not quite where it was at the point of when we purchased it. But we're getting there. We're almost at that point now. It requires time. And so when we want that spiritual renewal, when we want God to breathe that fresh life into us, sometimes, yes, we can get a reprieve and we meet God in a special way and we feel his presence near and it gives us a lot of strength and it can be very powerful. But if we don't keep up in investing that time into our walk with Jesus, then it very quickly will lose all of those gains. We'll lose all of that life that God has been pouring into us. But if we're faithful at spending time with the Lord, faithful at investing our time in the things of God, then over time, slowly, little by little, the Lord will build us back up. And what we were, this plant that's on the verge of death, eventually starts to grow new shoots, new leaves. And then what happens? Then the pruning comes. so that it can grow even more. But it requires time. Spiritual renewal requires the active work of God in us. It requires the active work of God in us. So this means a couple of things. This means, one, that we can't achieve this on our own. This isn't some self-help talk about how to, you know, revive your spirit. Because it requires the active work of God. It's not something we can ever accomplish on our own. But notice the words, in us. We have to let God in. My favorite book on prayer is by Henry Nouwen. And I believe it's called With Open Hands. Something about having open hands. And the whole picture of this book is about praying rather with closed fists or praying with open hands. And he tells a story in there about this person, this lady, who was being brought into a mental health facility. And she wasn't fully in touch with reality. And so they had to take things away from her that could be used to hurt herself. And she had this one coin in her hand. And for this woman, to give up this coin felt like she was losing the last bit of herself that there was to lose. That if she gave up that coin, that there would be nothing left of her. So she clings to this coin, kicking and screaming, and it took all these men to hold her down to get that coin away from her hand so she wouldn't, you know, put it in her mouth to choke on it or something. And that's how some of us approach God. Is the Lord starts pruning from us, and we're like, no, don't take that from me. That's mine. And we talk to God with these closed fists. And then over the course of this book, it goes on a journey of saying, no, you know what, God, I want to give up everything for you, like Jesus asked us to. And as we open up to God, we open up to Him and submit to Him as our Lord, our Kurios, our Master. We let Him in to do His work. That's where spiritual renewal begins to happen. See how much work it takes just to get to the point of opening our hearts and our hands to God? A lot of work on our part to strip away our own pride, to cut away all of those ideas we have of what we're supposed to be and supposed to have and supposed to do. And we have to leave that behind and open the door to God and let Him in. And yes, He's going to bring His pruning shears. But make no mistake, God works in our lives actively, and He desires to do this. Spiritual renewal is like dancing with God. I know us Mennonites don't like talking about dancing. But interesting story, Mennonite World Conference did a survey of the Mennonites all over the world, and the largest denomination of Mennonites is actually in Ethiopia. But there was one Mennonite pastor from the Congo who looked at these survey results as they're going through it, and it talked about the Mennonites in North America and how we don't dance in our worship. And this pastor from the Congo stood up, and he just could not understand. What do you mean you don't dance? How else do you worship God? And he couldn't understand it. But it's one of those nice little cultural differences between us and some of our other Mennonite brothers and sisters. But spiritual renewal truly is like a dance with God, where there's steps that we have to take, and then there's steps that only God can take, and we have to trust Him to lead us in the right direction, and we still also are then invited to take a step, or else we're not going to continue on in this dance, that the Lord works with us. And this is true right from the beginning. When God created the world, before there was sin in the world, He could have made it so everything did everything on its own. But God created Adam and Eve to be caretakers of the world. And this wasn't how it had to be. This is how God wanted it to be, to work together with us in this world. And the same is true with the work in our hearts. God isn't just going to come and bulldoze you in all of this. He's a gentleman. He won't come if He's not wanted. But he's waiting to be wanted once again. It's like this dance with God where he's always waiting for us to take our part, and then he's leading us on to the next step of the dance. He will do his part, and he invites us to do ours. It's kind of like the farmer who does his part in planting the seeds, caring for the plants, and yet relies on the Lord to sprout those seeds and to make them grow. Spiritual renewal is like a dance with God. I'm having some technical issues here. There we go. And spiritual renewal, as we started with, is all about staying connected to Jesus. He is the vine and we are the branches. We cannot do it without staying connected to him. We cannot do it without abiding in him. This takes time. How do we expect to receive spiritual nourishment from the Lord if we're not doing all of those things that nourish us in the Spirit? How do we expect to get spiritual renewal from the Lord if we're not spending time in his word, if we're not spending time in prayer, talking to him and listening to him, if we're not spending time with other believers to help sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron and to encourage us in the Lord, if we're not spending time worshiping him and praising God for all that he has done in our lives? Because God is always worthy, even when we are going through difficult things, even when we are growing on top of a boulder. We can praise the Lord that he has caused us to grow against all odds. Spiritual renewal is all about staying connected to Jesus. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Let's pray.